you have your Bibles this evening, if you take them and turn with me to the book of 1 Chronicles. 1 Chronicles this evening is where we'll be. We want to give our all to Jesus. We want to give Him our best, but we certainly want to give Him our all. 1 Chronicles chapter number 27. 1 Chronicles chapter 27. And we'll be reading a few verses. We'll begin reading in verse 25 and read on through the end of the chapter. 1 Chronicles chapter 27. And beginning our reading in verse 25, the Bible says, "And over the king's treasures was Azmaveth, the son of Adiel, and over the storehouses and the fields and the cities and in the villages and in the castles was Jehonathan, the son of Uzziah. And over them that did the work of the field for tillage of the ground was Ezri, the son of Caleb. And over the vineyards was Shimei, the Ramathite. And over the increase of the vineyards for the wine cellars was Zabdi, the Shifmite. And over the olive trees and the sycamore trees that were in the low plains was Baal-Hanan, the Gederite. And over the cellars of oil was Joash. And over the herds that fed in Sharon was Shitrai, the Sharonite. And over the herds that were in the valleys was Shaphat, the son of Adlai. Over the camels also was Obil, the Ishmaelite. And over the asses was Jediah, the Meronothite. And over the flocks was Jaach, the Hagarite. And these were the rulers of the substance, which was King David's. Also Jonathan, David's uncle, was a counselor, a wise man, and a scribe. And Jehiel, the son of Hachmoni, was with the king's sons. And Ahithophel was the king's counselor. And Hushai, the Archite, was the king's companion. And after Ahithophel was Jehoiada, the son of Benaiah, and Abiathar. And the general of the king's army was Joab." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank You for the service that You've allowed us to be in tonight. We thank You for the songs that have touched our hearts and directed them toward You. And Lord, we thank You for Your word that You've given to us. I pray that You would bless me as I speak this evening. Fill me with Your Spirit. Lord, I pray that You would touch each of our hearts tonight, that You would open our eyes to some truth from Your word that might speak to us, challenge us, and stir us. And Lord, may we leave here encouraged and changed. And we'll thank You for it in Jesus' name. Amen. We're familiar with King David. The name is not strange to us. The Bible character is well known, from children that begin in Sunday school and junior church up to even the Golden Prayer Warriors, right? But we know King David. We're familiar with the story from the time that he first appears as a young shepherd boy keeping his father's flocks, and to the time that God uses him in a special way to defeat Israel's nemesis Goliath, the Philistine giant, up to the point where he's then anointed by Samuel to be the king. But then Saul comes after him, and he's got to run, and he's on the run, and he's in hiding. And yet we see God is with him, and eventually God's promise comes true, as it always does, and David becomes king over Israel. At first, it's just a portion of God's people that come to David as their leader, but before long, all of Israel does come under David's rule, and he becomes king of Israel. And we're familiar with what a tremendous success his reign was, as God put his hand of blessing on him and on all that he did, on his battles and on his wars. And yet we know that David wasn't a perfect man. David was not sinless. David had his failures. And the Bible records those for us. It records for us some of the grave mistakes that he made and some of the serious missteps that were found in his life and that were evident. And of course, one of them that immediately would come to mind would be his failure in the area of Bathsheba and Uriah the Hittite. But one thing that we know about David is that even though he wasn't perfect, and aren't you glad none of us are either, right? The Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But when we look at King David, we see that he was somebody who failed, but yet he was somebody who, when he was confronted with his sin, he turned to God. And we have his prayer in the book of Psalms, and we're familiar with that, and we've no doubt heard messages on it, when he says, "Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation." And David got right with God. And let me encourage you tonight, if you mess up, if you choose to go into sin, if you make the wrong decision, if you don't follow the principles and the commandments of God's word, it's not time to give up. It's time to get right. God can still use you. God can still make a difference with you in the lives of other people. We just have to turn to Him and ask for forgiveness and ask for the restoration of joy, and He'll give it to us. And so we're familiar with these things about David, but we know David was a successful king. But for any ruler to be successful, or for any man to be a successful king, he has to have good men around him. And much as in our country, where we have a president who has a cabinet, and he has good men who are his advisors and his counselors, and they're over certain affairs in our country. You have like the Department of the Interior, the Department of Homeland Security, and the Department of Agriculture, and etc. David had something very similar to this, and we just read that in these verses. David was the king, but he had good men around him who counseled him, who gave him advice, and who you could say were part of his administration. And as we read over some of these folks and the names and the tasks that they had, we see some people were in charge of the king's castles. Some people were in charge of the king's treasures, his gold and silver and the precious jewels that he had. Some were in charge of the king's herds and flocks, and they fed them in Sharon. Some were in charge of the king's vineyards. Some served the king in the palaces. They were his counselors or his companions or with his children. But in the middle of that list of people who served King David, there's this one man named Joash. And Joash didn't serve the king in the castle. And Joash didn't serve the king in the treasury. And Joash didn't serve the king in the vineyards. Joash served the king in an unusual place. Joash served the king in the cellar. Joash served the king in the cellar. Look, if you would, again at verse 28. It says, "And over the olive trees and the sycamore trees that were in the low plains was Baal-Hanan the Gederite." But look at the last part of the verse, of verse 28. "Over the cellars of oil was Joash." Joash wasn't in charge of the diamonds and the rubies and the gold and the silver. Joash was in charge of a bunch of dusty barrels filled with oil. Joash wasn't in charge of the king's castles. Joash was in charge of the king's cellars. And as people looked at Joash and what he did, they might have drawn some conclusions. When they compared what Joash did to what Ahithophel did, he was the king's counselor. Or perhaps when they compared what Joash did to what Joab did, he was the king's general. Maybe when they compared what Joash did to the man who was over the treasuries, you know what? They might have said to themselves, what Joash has, number one, is an inferior appointment. It's an inferior appointment. I mean, look at these people. They get to be in the castles. They get to be in the grandeur, in the palace, in the treasuries. And Joash, he's underground in the dirty cellar, in the musty, away from the sunlight with a bunch of barrels filled with oil. That's an inferior appointment. Joash is not as important as these other men in David's administration. I mean, even the people who kept the king's flocks, you remember where they kept the flocks was in the fields of Sharon, right? Well, we know about Sharon. Sharon wasn't a dirty, dusty, nasty piece of ground. The Song of Solomon tells us that Sharon was a beautiful place. And it was well known for a kind of flower, the roses. And you know what we sing about Jesus, don't you? Jesus is the rose of Sharon. So people looked at what Joash did and they said, wow, Joash, what you have is a lowly job. What you have is a lonely job. You don't get to see the king. You don't get to stand by the king's side. You don't get to be in the palace. You're in the cellars. And they might have considered it to be an inferior appointment. Some people might have considered it not just an inferior appointment, they might have considered it an inconsequential appointment. Ah, we could do without Joash. All he does is work in the cellars. He's not that important. The king probably wouldn't even miss him if he wasn't serving him anymore. Joash could probably slip off for a couple weeks in vacation with his family and nobody would even know he was missing. That's how inconsequential his job is. I mean, he's got a simple position. He doesn't even have a title. He's in a simple place with a simple possession. What Joash does is not important. They thought it was an inferior appointment. They might have thought it was an inconsequential appointment. Some people might have even thought it was an indicative appointment. You say, well, indicative of what? Well, how about they might have thought it was indicative of his abilities. Well, hey, if Joash was a better guy, if Joash was more talented, if Joash was a smarter man, maybe he wouldn't have to be in the cellar. Maybe he could be in the castles. Maybe he could be in the treasuries. Maybe he could be with the armies. Maybe he could be with the king. But he must not be very talented, or he must not be very wise, or he must not be very able, because the king just put him in the cellar. They might have not only thought it was indicative of his abilities, they might have thought that it was indicative of his ambitions. Well, Joash is in the cellars because he didn't really have any ambition in life. You know, if he had had some ambition, surely he would have pushed and worked hard. And if he had just worked harder, maybe he could have been a more important man for the king. And you know what? Sometimes we can look at what we do, and Joash may have even thought those things himself, but I don't think so, and I'll tell you why. But sometimes we can look at what we do for the king. And we can think that what we do is not that important, and what we do is inconsequential, and what we do is inferior to somebody else, and perhaps other people might look at what we do and think it's not so important. And they might say, well, if you were a better Christian, you wouldn't just clean the parking lot off when it snows. Maybe they'd let you teach a Sunday school class. Maybe you thought to yourself that if you were just a better Christian, then maybe you could sing in the choir, or you could do something. Or you know what? What Joash did was just as important as what Ahithophel did. He may have been serving the king in the cellar, but he was still serving the king. And if you're here tonight and you're an usher, you're serving the king. If you're here tonight and you cut the grass, you're serving the king. If you're here and you clean the bathrooms, you're serving the king. If you're here and you cook for revival meals, you're serving the king. If you're here and you pray for the folks that are shut in and sick at home, you're serving the king. And you say, well, Michael, I'm in my older years, and I used to serve the king, and I used to be able to go out soul winning, and I used to be able to make it for every church service, and I used to be able to cook for the revivals, and I used to be able to visit folks in the hospitals, but now I can't get out much more. I guess I'm not really serving the king. Do you pray? You're serving the king. Those of you who can't do anything but pray for the folks in this church and drop your tithe in the offering are serving the king just as much as pastor when he gets up and preaches. That's how God sees it. You know, other people may have thought we could get along without Joash, but that's not how the king saw it. If David didn't need somebody to help in the cellars, he would have never asked him. The Bible tells us that God has gifted every man, every one of his children, He's gifted every man severally as he will. That means that each person sitting in this room tonight who has trusted Jesus Christ as their Savior, you've had your sin forgiven. You're one of God's children. That means He's gifted you. He's given you an ability. He's given you a responsibility. God wants to use you. God has something for you to do. God has prayers for you to pray. God has lives for you to impact. God has souls for you to witness to and perhaps even win for Him. God has something for you because God doesn't waste His gifts. Amen? God would not gift me if He didn't have something for me to do. God would not gift you if He didn't have something for you to do. And God has gifted every person in this room. So that means every one of us ought to be serving the King. Well, some people may have considered it to be inferior or inconsequential or perhaps indicative of Joash's lack of ability or talent. But that's not really true, and despite what others thought, there are some things that we do know. The first thing is that this was a service that was revealing. It was a service that was revealing. You say, well, what did it reveal? Well, I think it tells us a lot about his character. You say, well, how is that true? Well, first of all, we see his maturity. We see his maturity. I mean, if Joash had not been a mature man, when King David was going down the line and said, I want you to be a counselor, I want you to be over my armies, I want you to be my treasurer, I want you to keep the vineyards, and Joash, I want you to work in the cellars. If Joash had not been a very mature man, you know what he would have said? He would have said, King David, you get somebody else to work in your old cellars. I was hoping to get a better job. I was hoping to serve you in a more glamorous position. I was hoping for something with some more popularity or some more visibility. But Joash wasn't looking for popularity, and Joash wasn't looking for visibility. Joash was looking for opportunity. I think every man in Israel was hoping David would pick them to do something. Joash got to serve the king. And he didn't care that he didn't get to be in the castle. And he didn't care that he didn't get to be in the treasury. And he didn't care that he didn't get to be in the palace. He was just glad to serve the king wherever the king wanted him to serve. And we need more Christians who are willing to just serve Jesus, who are just willing to serve God in whatever capacity He wants them to serve. And they don't care if they're not the one preaching. And they don't care if they're not able to sing in the choir. And they're not worried about not being able to play the instruments. They don't mind if they're just an usher because they want to serve the King. We ought to be the kind of people that once we get saved, once we trust Jesus, once we become one of His children, we say, I hope the King has somewhere to use me. I hope there's some place that I can serve. I hope there's something that I can do. And there is. If you're here sitting here tonight and you can't think of any way in this church that you're serving God, serving the King, then there's a way that you can serve Him. You've just missed it. He has something for you to do. You're part of the body of believers at Southeast Baptist Tabernacle. And God doesn't waste a member. So it was revealing. It tells us something about his maturity, but then it tells us something about his mentality. See, Joash would rather have a low place than no place. Wouldn't you? Wouldn't you rather just do something for God than nothing at all? Don't just sit in the pew and do nothing because you can't be on the platform. They need people to hold babies in the nursery. They need people to be substitute Sunday school teachers. This morning in the bulletin, one of the usher spots was empty and it said, volunteer. Don't just sit in the pew. Serve the King. Do something for Jesus. Do something for God. We see his maturity. We see his mentality. But then lastly, and I think this is really important, we get a picture of Joash's morality. Joash served the King where nobody was. Joash served the King underground. Joash didn't have King David looking over his shoulder every 10 minutes, keeping tabs, making sure that he was doing his job and he wasn't slacking off. Joash was in secret. And the King had to put somebody in the cellar that he could trust. Somebody who had some integrity, somebody who had some character, somebody who could be trusted. Sometimes we think, and look at it this way, when I graduated Bible college, I studied for the pastoral ministry, right? And I graduated and I got my degree and I headed out. And there are churches with thousands of people looking for a pastor. There are churches with hundreds of people looking for a pastor. And I ended up at a church with dozens of people looking for a pastor. And I didn't even get to be the pastor. I got to be the assistant. Which Pastor Andrew knows what that means is that you do a little bit of everything. But I'm glad to serve the King. And if I had said, you know what, I'm just going to wait around until I get a church of a couple hundred that calls me, God might have never had a church of a couple hundred call me. And you know what? God may never have a church of a couple hundred call me. He may just want me to serve him in the cellars. And that's fine. Because if God calls on me to serve him in the cellars, that means that God knows that he can trust me. God knows that he can count on me. Because God knows all, and he won't call me to serve if he can't trust me to serve. If God's called you to serve, that tells you something about what God thinks about you, doesn't it? If God has a place for you to be involved in ministry, then that means God has an expectation of you to live up to the image of his Son, Jesus Christ. If you're an usher, do all to the glory of God. If you mow the grass, do all to the glory of God. If you clean the bathrooms, do it heartily as unto the Lord. And if you sing in the choir, and if you work in the nursery, and if you work in the children's church, whatsoever you do, do it heartily as unto the Lord. So it was a revealing service. Really, it tells us some things about this man. But then not only was it a service that was revealing, I think it was a service that was rewarding. This is exciting to me. You know what? When people came up to Joash and said, hey, Joash, I haven't seen you around. What are you doing these days? You know what Joash got to say? I'm serving the King. When people went up to Joash's parents and said, hey, what's your boy doing now? Where's he at? They got to say, he's working for King David. When people ran into Joash's wife, what's your husband doing? He works for the King. Joash's kids got to tell their friends, my daddy works for King David. He was serving the King. In the cellar, yes, but he was serving the King. And so are you. And so am I. Don't ever think to yourself that what you're doing is not important. Don't ever think to yourself that God said, well, he hasn't been a very faithful Christian, so I'm just going to have him be an usher. That's not the way it works. That's not the way it works. You're serving the King. You work for King Jesus, and that's rewarding. It's rewarding. So it was a service that was revealing. It was a service that was rewarding. But then I would like to say to you that it was a service that was recorded. You say, well, how do you know that? Well, look down at your Bible, verse 28, right? There it sits. God wrote it down. What everybody else may have never thought to write down, God thought to write down. And the Bible tells me in Matthew chapter 6 that thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. The Bible tells me in Hebrews that God is not unrighteous to forget your labor of love. If you're serving the King, He's writing it down. It's recorded. God's written it down. And you know what? Not only was this service recorded, but it was remembered. Here we are tonight looking at it. For thousands of years, people who have read the Bible from cover to cover have read about Joash, who served the king. Anybody who's ever read the book of 1 Chronicles has read about Joash, who served the king. Tonight, we're studying the man who served the king. It wasn't just recorded, it was remembered. And let me tell you that if you're serving the king, one day it's going to be rewarded. It's going to be remembered. God is not going to forget. And one day you're going to go see the king that you serve, and he's going to say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful in few things. I will make thee ruler over many." And the Bible tells us that God is recording what we're doing. He's writing it down. There is a record, and there is going to be a day of reward. And if you're singing in the choir, if you're cooking meals for revival, if you're visiting people at the hospital, if you're shaking hands and encouraging somebody who looks down in spirit, if you're greeting people at the door and passing out a bulletin, if you're holding a baby in the nursery, if you're making a phone call to somebody who wasn't here last week, you're serving the King, He's writing it down, and someday there will be a reward for you. What you're doing is no less important than what any other Christian serving Jesus does. That's how God sees it. And you know what? There are some people who would sit in a pew until they were asked to do something great. Well, if they ever asked me to sing a special, boy, I'd do it like a shot. Well, you know what? They might need some volunteers to clean up after a Christmas dinner. Serve the King. Just serve the King. And I don't think that there's a big problem with that at this church, because I came here for 4 years. And I see people picking up leaves in the lobby and candy wrappers over by the Sunday school section, the fellowship hall. Y'all do serve the King. Don't ever think you don't. If you straighten hymnals, you serve the King. If you tell the preacher, "You're going home, Pastor, I'll turn out the lights," you serve the King. Kind of puts it in a different perspective, doesn't it? The Bible tells me in Mark chapter 9, because you might say to yourself, "Michael, I don't know that what you're saying is right. What I do, it can't be really noticed." Mark chapter 9 says, Jesus said, if you give a cup of cold water, you will in no wise lose your reward. I have some friends of mine here tonight. The Reeds are here. And I'm glad that they were able to make it. Brother Reed is the president of the Bible college that I attended, Indiana Baptist College. Mrs. Reed is not officially in the administration. And Brother Reed serves the King at IBC. He teaches. I've seen him song lead. He preaches. He counsels. You know what? Mrs. Reed serves the King too. Mrs. Reed feeds the students. And Mrs. Littleton. You know, when Thanksgiving time came around and my sister and I couldn't go home, it was too far and we weren't able to make it, Brother and Mrs. Reed would invite us to their home. And when Mrs. Reed cooked Thanksgiving dinner for me and my sister, she was serving the King just as much as when Brother Reed preached his message in chapel. And God saw it, and He wrote it down, and He'll reward it. There's a principle that we see in the Scripture of sowing and reaping. Are any of y'all gardeners or farmers in here tonight? Any gardeners or farmers? We got a couple hands of people who garden or farm. My dad grows tomatoes, and we have real sandy property, so if you're going to grow a garden, you have to have a raised bed, you know? And so he doesn't want to build a bunch of raised beds in the backyard and make it look like a corn maze, you know, so he just grows some tomatoes, right? But the amazing thing is that he takes care of his tomatoes and he waters his tomatoes and he has these plants, and every year there's a reaping that comes. Multiple times a year, too. Those things give off tomatoes like you wouldn't believe. We could stock all of Kroger with just four tomato plants. I mean, my goodness. But there's a principle of sowing and reaping. If you sow the seed, you're going to receive what was sown, right? That's just how it works. We see that principle in the Bible. And in Proverbs 11, the Bible says, to him that soweth righteousness, there shall be a sure reward. You say, well, what does that mean? How can I sow righteousness? Well, what that means is to the one who does righteous things, and doing righteousness just means doing right. To the one who follows God's commandments, to the one who lives a righteous life, to the one who, you might say, serves the King, there will be a sure reward. If you live a life before God that is pleasing to Him, you're sowing a seed of righteousness. If you read your Bible and do what it says, you're sowing a seed of righteousness. When you tell somebody that Jesus loves them and came to die for them and wants to forgive their sin, you're sowing a seed of righteousness. When you usher, you're sowing a seed. And to him that soweth righteousness, there shall be a sure reward. If you live your life for God, he will never, ever disappoint you. God will never come up short in your life. You will never say, I wish I just hadn't served God as much. Instead, like the old song says, by and by when I look on his face, I wish I had given him more. So I want to encourage you with this thought tonight. Maybe you're here and you are not really serving the King. While I've been preaching, you've been thinking to yourself, I didn't really think about it that way, and I've kind of been waiting for something that I felt was an opportunity to serve, and I didn't realize that I have all these other opportunities that I could be serving Jesus, I could be serving God, I could be doing something for the Lord. Let me encourage you to start serving the King. Start serving him right now, even if it is in the cellars. Just do what God wants you to do. Make yourself available. I'm sure Pastor has a list of things that you could do. He would love to see you serving Jesus as a part of this body. Why don't you start serving the King? Do something for him and sow that seed. But maybe you're here tonight and you do serve the King. You're already serving the Lord. You're doing something for him. You're trying to make an impact. You're trying to give of yourself. But you thought that what you did wasn't so important. You thought maybe what you did wouldn't be missed if you weren't here. God would miss it. He's the one that counts. God's writing it all down. One day he'll reward it. You stay faithful in your cellar and you serve the King. You do what God wants you to do. Do what he's called you to do. He was willing to go to the cross and stay on the cross for you. Are you willing to go to the cellar and stay in the cellar for Jesus? Let's have every head bowed and every eye closed.